Welcome to Avery Adventures Podcast. I'm Ryan Avery.
And I'm Tanya Avery.
Today we're in Post Falls at Bat Actions, Bat Machinery. What's the proper name for it?
Bat Machine Company Incorporated.
There we go. We have Bruce, owner, founder, and we have Daryl, and from what we surmise, he is the jack of all trades, and he says master of one here at Bat.
Yeah.
Guys, we came over here today because in the hunting world where we're from, there's a lot of people that don't know a lot about you guys, and I really believe that they should. Bruce, can you kind of go into why you started Bat Actions and where you're kind of moved to today in a nutshell, I guess?
What, the long version or the short version?
We're a long-form format, so as long as you want.
So I have had a lifelong interest in making stuff, and specifically making firearms. And started when I was a kid. And in high school, I made, I think four different rifles at least. And, but our dad's not a hunter. We shot, but he wasn't a hunter. And the thing that really, interested me as a kid was shooting ground squirrels. That was always kind of the little bit I did get to do it. It was like, that was the thing. And so as I got older and my wife happened to have a cousin up in Canada that had a large ranch and a ground squirrel problem. And 22 rimfire is just kind of, you're kind of limited, right?
Right.
So I started building rifles that would reach out there and shoot ground squirrels at distance. And that, of course, led me to get into more extreme accuracy stuff and the whole turning brass. And then I was making falling block actions.
When did this start? Like years?
This started in the first falling block action. I think, I made it when I was still working for Al Ewing, about 86, 85, somewhere in there. And then I actually made falling blocks that I sold from about 1990 to about 94. Very limited. Just doing it part-time. I was still tool making full-time. And one of those customers had a bench rest rifle. Actually, he had like five bench rest rifles. And he brought them over to me one day, and I had never seen anything like that before. And I was immediately interested and immediately had to build one. And of course, you have to build your own action. You don't buy stuff.
Right. Oh, that's exactly where everybody goes right off the bat.
At least when you're a tool maker, exactly. Machinist. So I built a 6 PPC, and I also built a swap barrel for it as a 17 Mach 4. For ground squirrel gun, and that guy saw it, and he had to have one, and then his buddy had to have one, and then somebody else had to have one, and that's where it went from there. And then guys started talking about it from this side of the world to the East Coast, and yeah. So by 1996, I had a ridiculous backlog trying to make them part-time in my home shop, and I decided, there's bankruptcy laws in America. You always go broke.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I've been doing it ever since. And our main focus has always been bench rest until the last, 7 years, 10 years maybe. We started dabbling in repeaters and hunting style actions, initially more towards the tactical side of, again, extreme accuracy.
When we're talking bench rest, you're talking single feed, like F-class. What kind of bench?
Yeah. Single shots, bolt actions, short-range bench rest, which is 100, 200, 300, and mid-range bench rest, which would be 600, and then F-class, and then 1,000-yard bench rest. And there's multiple classes and all that. And so that's part of the reason there's such a variety of bench rest actions on our website. And it's kind of a little hard to figure out maybe what you actually need, but,
what is the standard action for bench rest from Bat?
So short range, I would call it the DS or Model B.
Uh-huh.
And, F class, 1,000 yard, probably the most standard one is the Model M. Some people also use a Model B in the heavier, stiffer configuration. 1,000 yard bench rest, sometimes in unlimited, they'll use a Model L. Mm-hmm. And then 50 caliber bench rest, the EX, and ELR, which is not really bench rest, but kind of is.
Gotcha.
The EXS and the EX models.
The King of 2 Mile and things like that are using those.
Now, on these, there, I am really dumb to the bench rest side. Right. I am purely hunting side. These have no magazine feeds. Oh, yeah, I guess both of us need to uncurl that. I could get a little static, just pop it out from inside there. Getting back on track, these actions, they're all single fed in the bench rest side, correct?
Correct, yes.
And that's just for rigidity, or it doesn't really matter to them? Or
rules. Well, a lot of it's the rules.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to feed from a magazine in a bench rest match. You have to single load them. So it's a combination of it makes a stiffer action, and everybody's always wanted to hang the stiffest barrel, so stiffer action helps that support the heavy barrel. And yeah, and like he said, the rules.
What's the calibers of choice for that?
Short range, 6 PPC, there's just no question, it just dominates. People experiment once in a while, but it's become kind of like, you know, in basketball, you use a basketball. Short range bench rest, you use a 6 PPC. 1,000 yard, that's where people have fun with Wildcats. There's lots. The 6 dashers become very popular in when there's not real extreme conditions, wind conditions, and does very well.
6 BRA is pretty popular now.
Yeah.
So if somebody calls in and they're just kind of not sure, is there somebody that they should talk to? Is like one of you, like
our shipping guy answers the phone, Steve. Okay, and Steve. He can answer most questions people have. And if it's something he can't, then he gets usually with me and I work out a solution. So
because it's kind of funny, some people are just like, I don't know, they just need to talk to somebody. I don't know if it's to reassure them, yeah, or before they place this big order, they just like want to know if their thought process is the right process.
And I actually encourage that, especially if they have never done it before, because yeah, they can easily work themselves into a corner that's difficult to get out. They don't hit the weight limit they need in the class they're trying to shoot, right, or they've got an action that won't run with the case they think they want to run. So yeah, it's always good to contact us.
So Steve's the guy they need to check.
Yeah. And nothing can be ordered directly online anyway, as far as actions go.
Okay.
You can order accessories, but not actions. So you'll need to call anyway to place the order, and you can ask the final questions at any time. So
actually, it seems like a lot more people are comfortable with actually talking to a real person,
yeah,
than just blindly placing the order, even in this day and age, mm-hmm, on the internet. Yeah.
Well, you know, it is a hobby for most people, mm-hmm, and we like to talk about our hobbies, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's sure. A double-edged sword, though, because sometimes you'll get a guy that just won't shut up. You guys won't probably say that, but I'm probably the guy that calls and asks Daryl 75 questions about
one thing. He's the guy that
thing.
Won't shut up. And I'm like, get off the phone. They got work to
he's
do.
Got a
Leave
job.
Him alone.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Jake from Unknown Munitions about that, because he's getting to the point where he's like, I don't know what people are calling me about, some things that are so dumb. He's like, I got to talk to them, but it's totally wasting my time. And you're like, you have that. There's no way around it once you have a business that's popular.
But now that he's become so knowledgeable, they do seem like dumb questions. But when he started out, they may not have.
But
everybody
like,
starts somewhere.
If you have an bullet, you guys have actions totally different. It's, mm-hmm, you know, you have accessories, but you have an action. You got to have an FFL to send it to, blah, blah, blah. A guy will call and he'll be like, I don't have those in stock. And then it'll be a 30-minute conversation about why he doesn't have something in stock. So
yeah.
I'm sure you guys get that on your lead times, but we're getting way out in a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So one other thing, when you were asking about who to contact. So Bullet Central is our biggest supply, our reseller. And they stock most of our stuff, and they have a fairly knowledgeable staff as well. They're shooters, and Chris Harris, the owner of Bullet Central is a fanatic venturous shooter as well. So,
did they stock all, even your hunting
stuff? Yeah, they stock. Yes. They're the only ones that really stock a lot of the hunting stuff.
And you said, was there one more or no? It's stocked.
Bruno Shooter Supply stocks mostly venturous stuff.
Okay. When I was here last time, or actually I think it was 2 times ago, I was talking to you guys. You guys cut your actions from a different steel than most. Can you guys go into that?
So we use 17-4 for most of the receiver bodies. It's the 416 is the what most other people are using. When we started making actions, Glenn Harrison of then Nasika Bay, he used 15-5, which is just the same steel basically as 17-4. Defiance, they now use 416. They're both tensile strength wise and everything. They're both very close. We like the 17-4 because a lot of our stuff gets nitrided, and in the heat treatment of 416, when you nitride it, it actually is in most people's nitriding processes. Now, I'm not saying that you can't nitride it and not have be successful, but the temperature is high enough that it makes the 416 base material softer. That's one reason. The other reason is just we've used it for a really long time. We're very familiar with this distortion that happens when you're machining it, so we know how to deal with it. I see real no advantage in doing 416. We've tried it on a limited basis.
Customer feedback, guys that run really hot, King of 2 Mile in particular, feel that they can run hotter loads than they can in anybody else's action. And that's one of the main differences is the steel.
The tensile strength is higher at our heat treat, what way we heat treat them. I'm not saying 416 can't be heat treated to the same level, but just the hardness we use, it is a little tougher. So you get a little less stretch during the firing cycle.
So would you say you feel that it's a better quality action because of that steel?
Not necessarily.
No?
Not necessarily.
It's just you guys really like that steel.
We just prefer to use it, yeah. And been so much of our stuff is nitride, it is so popular, it is definitely superior nitride to have nitrided versus 416.
So what is it that you prefer about it then over others?
Stability and heat treat, repeatability and heat treat. We don't get a variation from lot to lot to lot, and so it keeps our machinability the same.
So consistency. Yeah,
consistency.
So with the vampire action, Ryan.
We're gonna get into that in a second. Sorry. I just wanted to kind of we can jump in there now, yeah. But it's you're going from heavy benchrest steel actions. Mm-hmm. And then I know that me and I'm sure tons of people have been talking to you. Can you guys make a lighter action? Can you make a lighter action? And then down the road, you came out with, was the Bumblebee? What was the first lighter action you guys made towards the hunting crowd?
Well, we started coring out where we could, similar to the Defiance Anti, mm-hmm. We did a few of those. They were more one-offs for people. I did some for Caleb. Mm-hmm. They were CT actions and whatnot. But it's hard to get enough metal out of there to make a significant difference. And we didn't want to go down the titanium route.
Why not titanium?
Well, Bruce can probably answer better than me, but it's a great material for certain applications, action bodies. It's we don't feel it has all the properties it should have. So it's a little bit soft it's a little bit flexible, I guess I should say. And it stretches again, like he was mentioning a minute ago, where during the firing cycle, everything expands and then it comes back more than normal. So it creates tight cases in the chambers.
Now, some of the stuff Daryl's mentioning is not necessarily what a normal hunter is going to experience. But our customer base has classically been people that wildcat and shoot very hot. And so you run into issues that, I mean, there's several different titanium action manufacturers out there, right? And they're making them and they're successful. And they probably don't have a lot of problems with their actions. I don't know. I haven't talked to them. I do know one manufacturer that will no longer make them that did at one time because he had barrels come loose on him. Because that as during the firing cycle, like Daryl says, titanium is very tough, but it has a high modulus or high low modulus of elasticity. So in other words, it basically stretches more. It has more spring. It's very tough. You can't tear it apart, but it stretches like a rubber band more than steel does. All steel, aluminum, it all does that to a certain extent, but titanium is a little higher rate than steel. And so during the firing cycle, it goes like that. And that has a tendency to, you know, over time with the right hot enough loads, apparently people's barrels work loose. And then, like he said, because that stretch, if you're a reloader, you'll start noticing your cases getting tighter sooner than normal as you resize them because they've stretched a little bit more than they would out of a steel action. So it just, I don't know. I just don't really like titanium for
that application. So if they do fail, it's because of that expansion contraction quickly.
And the action doesn't fail.
Right, right.
It just causes some issues.
Hmm.
And a guy shooting factory ammo that doesn't reload, it'll never notice those issues.
Yeah, a guy with a sheep rifle wants as light as he can possibly be. He's probably going to shoot it 200 times in his lifetime.
Exactly.
Though it doesn't matter as much as a guy that's going to shoot it 1,500 times.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's, like I say, it's mostly because of our customer base why I didn't want to go there. It's tougher to machine, but we machine hardened steel all day long. I mean, it's not like it's any great deal to make actions out of titanium. The material's more expensive by about 10 times, but.
But you guys have never produced one TI action out of here.
Nope.
Gotcha.
Made some titanium firing pins, but
that was about it.
Yeah.
So what was the first you guys considered production run of a lighter weight action?
Well, we'd been approached by several people about making titanium actions, and I was just not going to do it. And I just, in Benchrest, the aluminum steel hybrid type action has been around since the late 70s. This Kelby's been manufacturing it. It was originally the Ralph Stoll designed it. And then Stiller copied them directly when they first started making actions and made an aluminum steel hybrid action. And so it's always been a possibility. It's a little bit of a challenge to put it into a repeater that is not larger. In a Benchrest action, you can make the whole body bigger. Nobody cares because you can, the stock doesn't matter. You know, you can have lots of room, but so I woke up one morning and was like, why don't we just make aluminum? And so Daryl and I started designing it, and he came up with most of the good ideas. And
so kind of go into your Bumblebee and your, because your Bumblebee and the Vampire are aluminum, correct?
Yes. That's correct.
And kind of tell people, because as soon as people, I don't care how long somebody's been making something, as soon as somebody says aluminum in an action, people go, no.
Yeah, no. Exactly. So my, you know, being around the Stoll, Panda, Kelby's aluminum action forever, my only downside that I ever saw to them was they didn't hard anodize their receiver bodies, and so the bores just got loose. But as far as longevity and shooting them hot and whatever, they were solid. I mean, I never saw one that was destroyed. And so that is the only major thing that is really a downside, is if you do not hard anodize aluminum, it will wear in the bore areas. Now, as I mentioned, it's a hybrid action. It's steel. The receiver threads, the lug seat is all steel. And that is what takes all the pressure. The rest of the receiver is just a carrier and a place to, you know, house the magazine and make it feed and place to bolt it in.
And somewhere to mount the trigger.
Yeah. And basically, I mean, if you're familiar with an AR, your AR just has a sleeve that's on the end of the barrel that handles all the pressure.
Right.
It's got the lugs and it threads on the barrel. So it's a slip fit into your aluminum receiver, but the receiver takes no pressure. It's just a guide. So basically, I mean, the design of how this is fit into the receiver has nothing like, well, shouldn't say nothing. I mean, everything's somewhat similar, but it's a permanent steel insert in the aluminum body.
Right.
But
I asked you how you put it in there and you said next question.
Yeah. It's not super rocket science, but there are some details to it that we don't want to talk about. But yeah.
Can you talk about some of the pressure testing you have done with it?
Yeah. So the first one, I ran almost 1,000 rounds through it, just normal 60,000 PSI, 6.5 PRC actually ammo. And then I started cranking it up, and I was actually opening the bolt by hand up to around 90,000 PSI with very little effort, even though the cases looked like belted magnums at that point. Kept going up to 117,000, and then I finally got enough case expansion that I had to use a little pry bar to get the bolt open, but the action is still totally functional. And yeah, it really, one thing is the insert on these is actually harder than our normal steel receiver. And so it's a little bit tougher yet, so there's actually a little less spring, and it actually makes a slicker opening bolt for hot loads. So it has some, and the reason we're able to do that is because it's just an insert. We don't have to deal with machining a whole receiver that hard.
So Bumblebee, Vampire, what's the difference?
So the Bumblebee is the lightest bat, literally, and in that machine's lineup.
Gotcha.
So there's a little bat called a bumblebee bat. So that's where I got that name from. And then the Vampire is the long action version. And, vampire bat, everybody knows about vampire bats, right?
Absolutely. They're the worst.
decided to, do a little bit of, we've got so many suffix type model actions, it's kind of confusing. Decided maybe we should actually put some names on some stuff.
I would totally agree with that, because I'll look and I'll forget the number and I'll have to go back and look at the letter number. People ask, where did the name come from?
It's my initials.
Gotcha. What is the actual weight of the two?
23.8 ounces on the Bumblebee and 25 ounces on the Vampire.
And you can do, so like Magnum, you guys do a Lapua bolt face or just Magnum bolt face, or where is it at with the Vampire?
So on the Bumblebee, 223, size 308 and Magnum. And on the Vampire, just the 308 and Magnum.
And they're going to ask me this too. If we don't ask you, what size box can you run them?
The Bumblebee, any of the Wyatt's boxes for the short action, and we can add a notch so you can run non-binder plate boxes in it, but currently they're not all cut for that, so that's be a custom cut. The Vampires are cut for all the long Wyatt boxes up to the CFE9, or you can also use a CIP type box in them.
And people looking at or listening to those weights, this has an integrated lug and an integrated rail.
Correct.
So you're buying nothing else for that action except for the rings to put the scope on.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so it looks like, compared to some of the titanium actions, it looks like it's a little bit heavier. Mm-hmm. But some of the titanium actions are just round. Mm-hmm. So you still have to add, you've got the weight of your screws and the weight of the base itself. So it's pretty much a wash weight-wise to the titanium actions that are out there.
So is the same lockup system in these the same that's in your bench rest rifles?
Yes. Same firing pin assembly. And the other really cool thing about aluminum is we're using 7075 T6, which is kind of standard, you know, aircraft aluminum, that anything that needs real strength in aluminum is made from.
Gotcha.
But we're able to make that weight and not only, you know, have the integral rail, but the cross section is flat bottomed. So I'll let Daryl say what the stiffness numbers were, but when we ran the stiffness numbers of the receiver body in CAD program,
about 30 to 40% stiffer than steel and 130% stiffer than titanium.
You might want to repeat that one more time.
Yes. 30 to 40% stiffer on steel and 130% stiffer than titanium. So when you hang a barrel on it, your back screw is not being torqued, you know, the action's not bowing as much. Even it's less than even a steel action.
Obviously, the whole idea is not to hang a heavy barrel on an action like this, though. Most everybody's going to be putting a carbon fiber barrel on it. Right, but right. It's pretty nice to have that kind of stiffness number, right? I mean, it really, they you know, the rifles we built on them absolutely are tack drivers. I mean,
it looks like perfection. I mean, I wouldn't tell you the difference between anything, but it looks like perfection because I don't know nothing about metals. But well, one thing I'll also be asked is, you guys can put, it's a 700 trigger, correct?
Yep.
And then everybody wonders about your actual footprint. Can you kind of give us a rundown on how that footprint works?
So the footprint is the same as a 700. The holes in the same location, the recoil lugs in the same location. But it's basically squared out. So we can take a 700 pre-inletted stock and basically run the profile squared out with a cutter. And then So it's flat bottom. The same depth that it basically leave the little bit of witness of the original cut. And then we have screw bosses that hang off the bottom to make sure there's plenty of thread for the screws. And so the bosses would need to be lowered by, I think it's 1/4 inch.
I missed it. Which action is this?
The bumblebee. It's a short action.
You know that I don't have any context.
Yeah.
Bumblebee.
Okay. Yeah, on the black there, it kind of hides. But yeah, so yeah. We not only black anodize them, hard coat anodized, we also have them Teflon coated.
They're slick looking. And it's nothing really like you've seen before. It has the pick rail is like skeletonized, and it's separated by the kind of the bridge over the top of the action, and it's at an angle. It just looks sexy.
Now, I thought Teflon was like outlawed. Now,
this ain't
didn't you just say Teflon?
I did say Teflon.
He did.
What was it?
Well, they called it some kind of a Teflon type coating that they're using on AR receiver bodies. Gotcha. What it's actually made out of, I don't know.
But, don't lick it, kids. Don't lick it.
And that's what I was just saying. Don't try to cook off of it because we know that Teflon is like bad for you to eat.
Oh, that's awesome. No,
One of our local anodizers suggested it. It
looks good. It looks like it's not coming off anytime soon.
Just don't scrape it with a metal spatula.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You probably could a little bit.
Get it off there.
I don't know.
Is this, so what's the next logical question people ask is, what are your lead times? A week? 10 years?
Yeah, people are really liking this product.
I can
and
bet.
They're flying off the shelves. So
right now, especially, I'm sure.
Yeah. So might be in stock at Bullet Central, or they might be getting some in the next few weeks. But after that, it's probably going to be 4 or 5 months, I would guess, for more available.
There's more. There's two lots in process right now, but it's yeah.
Okay, so just so I'm understanding, you guys, do you send all your products to Bullet Central right away, or if somebody calls you and wants something, do they get precedence? Like, does their order go in front of the Bullet Central? Like, how does this work?
Oh, that's a good question.
I put you on the spot now.
It's a real good question. So we run a pretty lean shop, and so we'd run it in small batches, medium batch size. So we will, he said that we have several of these in process. So we have to get the raw material in, have to turn it, have to.
You're not answering her question, though. Who gets precedence?
Okay. I'm going to drill you right to the ground.
So who gets precedence? So nobody gets, I mean, it's by order date.
Gotcha.
Okay, so but the date that the order goes in, that's when it gets started in assembly.
So Bullet Central has orders on our books by date.
Right.
And we also put orders in there for ourselves. If we have any left from whatever lot, you could get one right away if it's not already sold from our orders that we have put in for ourselves.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's all going to Bullet Central.
Here's part of how I try and answer that question. So you order a vampire and he orders a bumblebee. You could order yours later than him and get it first.
It just depends on when you're running them.
Because exactly. I might be running what you ordered before I run what he ordered.
No, that totally makes sense. But I'm just saying, like, say I'm ordering the same action as Bullet Central, mm-hmm. and my order goes in on the first. If they come in and they order like a huge quantity on the second,
they'll be behind you.
They'll be behind me.
Yes.
Okay. So it's off the date of the order. Yep.
So it's off the date of the order.
Yep.
And if so, somehow like a previous order had an extra for mm-hmm. whatever reason, then I might get a little bit earlier, but I'm not going to get put in the back of the line because a big order comes in after me.
No. Now, do you want your name on it and you want something tweaked, and then
those things could
set you back, especially like left-handed. We do left-handed as normal, but sometimes they want something special, and plus it's left, or they want a different type of action body material. Chromoly when we normally do stainless, those kinds of things.
They're left-handed, they get it when they get it.
So right. Or we're doing better about getting those it, you're not gonna
right
get
in the run, but yeah.
Don't be weird, just get your action, get it when you can get it, and you'll have it.
Yep.
Okay. Do you have that token guy that calls you once a week and says, where's my action?
You know
me. Oh, of course.
I know, but I just wanted to ask you. Yeah. I mean, this is the spice that people want to know.
Ryan.
Yeah. It'd be Caleb Hollett. He'll call you once a week and ask you for the action.
No, he just always wants something custom, right?
He just shows up to the shop because he lives
like,
close.
He'll call me. He's like, I heard this. What'd you do? He's like, oh, I did this. I was like, oh, you're not going to see that for a day or two. So getting on to the gun part, you guys actually do build full guns here.
We do some, yeah, but it's don't do it if you want it quick.
So
no,
they don't get precedence.
That's a good point.
No, they're kind of basically after all our regular work's done, I work on them. So
you guys are action makers, not gun makers. So that makes sense.
Well, assembly line seems to always beat out because it's quick.
Yeah,
it's quantity.
The problem with making for us is we don't have anybody dedicated to building them. And secondly, because so many people, when they're building a special gun off of an expensive action, they do want something special. It is custom, and it is, you know, it takes a while to get all the components together. And Daryl has done some pretty non-custom stuff or non-standard it's custom stuff.
Yeah.
And he's agreed to do some crazy stuff. I was like, what were you thinking?
Daryl's that guy that you get him on the right day, you can get him to do some crazy stuff.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. He gets all enthusiastic about some of this stuff. Like, well, I've been doing it too long. I'm kind of jaded. Like, so, we make what we make.
So you're not like partial to like bribery, like chocolate or, you know.
Not normally.
If I say like I'm going to send you some homemade brownies that like won't.
That's been tried before. Oh, we had a guy fly out from Ohio with a ham, some special ham.
Wow.
Because he wanted his action quicker.
Ham.
Did you say, dude, this is a job bigger than ham? Like maybe a honey ham, you would have gotten us there, but just a regular ham.
We've also had people pay us in cash for a lot of actions by shipping it in a digital readout box that was made out of 2x4s and said digital readout on the outside and was stacked full of cash. That was an interesting
You're
one.
You're kidding me.
No.
With the United States Postal Service? Because that's brazen.
Yeah. Yeah.
They lose everything.
This was 15 years ago.
This was 20 years ago.
Wow. Damn. They were very trusting. Ballsy.
Do you guys take Bitcoin?
No.
Because I know our postmaster.
My wife doesn't know how to spend it.
Exactly. I don't know either. I don't understand it. I'm like,
my son's bringing Bitcoin. He's like, dude, now you can get a credit card and you can just buy Bitcoin and use the card to buy stuff with it. Good way to hide your money from the government, Bruce.
Or your wife. Because I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to hide your money from your wife than the government. Mm.
I know a lot of wives a lot smarter than governments. Yeah, not me, exactly. But several others.
PayPal. Where everybody hides it.
It's not where everybody hides it. It's just that we don't want to put out the effort.
Yeah, that could be true. All right, moving on. You guys make a lot of accessories that I was looking at today that I didn't even know you made. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about the highlights of your accessory game?
Yeah, you have a lot.
So we do make rings, and the only reason we make rings is because I think the majority of them on the market are really ugly and look like they belong on a tank, not a rifle, at least a nice-looking rifle. So, yeah, we make rings in 30, 34,
For the Picatinnies.
For the pick rails. We do make some direct mount ones that mount directly to a round top action. Those are mostly for bench rest to save a little bit of weight. And then we make trigger guards. What are those?
ADL.
ADL. ADL style trigger guard.
Talking about the whole floor plate and everything?
No, or just the trigger guard. And gotcha. Those we started making for bench rest shooters. They need a trigger guard, but they don't want the whole floor plate.
Oh, okay.
I made those since the very beginning because the only thing that was available back in the day was cast aluminum, and they were a real pain in the butt to polish out. And I was like, I'm making these things out of billet. So
gotcha.
We've made those for years. Brownell sells a lot of those, actually.
The action screws are quite popular for other screws. Builds. We sell them, a lot of them, you know, that don't go into bat actions.
So the deal with action screws, like, why would bat make action screws? Right. It's such a stupid thing. Well, so most bench rest guns are glued together. The receiver's glued into the stock. It eliminates bedding issues, right? Mm-hmm. Torque issues with screws, differential. Well, I don't really like glue-ins because I like to take my guns apart.
Right.
And so I developed my own way of pillar bedding that shot every bit as good as glue-ins. But all the screws that are available are rolled screws, and they're not straight, and they don't pull straight down. They're crooked, and they wobble when they go in. And so that is just kind of one of those perfectionist toolmaker things that doesn't help me out here.
Right.
And so I started making screws.
But you are making it better. It's something you're
yes,
improving.
Yes, they're machined
sense.
Out of billet screws right. with nice deep 532 sockets in them, so you don't strip them out. Mm-hmm. They come
they're
with
a little
actions.
Bit bigger diameter, so that gives you extra torque on them without stretching them.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's why we make screws.
Perfect. Do you guys still, I saw a muzzle brake. Do you guys make muzzle brakes or make a?
We do. One size with 5/8, 24 thread, 3/4.
That's smart, because there's about a bazillion ass can you can make.
Yeah. good for up to the 300 Win Mag type stuff. 338 is probably a little small. I like it on my 6.5 Creedmoor and stuff like that. Works really good. 7 short mag.
Is there anything, any secrets you want to let us know about before they're out there in the world?
So as far as finishing up on accessories, we do make action wrenches for our actions, really? For all of our actions. And we also sell a tool made by Kleinendorf for disassembling the bolt. You don't necessarily need it, but
gotcha.
It's a lot of people find it handy. Rails for all of our actions.
Right.
Picatinny and Kelby dovetail rail. What else? We sell as far as parts, we sell our extractors as kits.
Okay.
The ejectors as kits, so if you need parts for them, they're on the shelf and available. I think that's the basics.
Yeah. Probably a few more things out there, but
ask if you're looking for something. So secrets, what you guys got? Anything you want to reveal on this podcast that's coming out?
Well, we talked about the Bumblebee and the Vampire being our lightweight actions. We also last year came out with the Igniter, which is a little bit lower cost action. It's steel chromoly action body that is blued rather than the stainless.
Wait, before you get too far, when you say lower cost, how much lower cost? Like, what are we looking at for ballpark for the Igniter versus the Bumblebee versus the Vampire?
So the Bumblebee and Vampire are both in the $1,700 range. The Igniter is right at 1,000, just under it without a rail. And the thing with the Igniter is it's made exactly the same tolerances. There's no shortcuts. But we don't make limited. We make a run, and we don't offer any options.
Okay, so it's very what you get, what you get.
Yep. Okay. That's the only way we can make them for that price.
Oh, sure. That seems totally reasonable.
And they have the accessories or the options that are available are the pick rail or no pick rail, and they are pinned, double pinned. Bolt faces, 308 Magnum.
223.
They come with our standard modular two-piece bolt that's been nitrided. I mean, they're steel. They're a really good deal.
Why a two-piece bolt, by the way? I see why you said that.
So that came about, 3 years ago now? People want to do switch barrels. And the standard out there is the Savage style removable bolt nose. So there's a couple of custom action manufacturers that have utilized that. I don't really like the front of my bolt floating around. We believe we can machine stuff so it's actually perfectly square and doesn't need to be. I shouldn't say believe. We do. Machine stuff perfectly square so it doesn't need to float to actually have full lug contact. And so I didn't want to compromise the front of the bolt. And the best solution was to make it the back end of the bolt, the bolt handle part, removable.
So. Gotcha. When you don't have that bolt in there, it feels like a toy.
Yeah.
So what is the weight on those bolts?
On the bolt?
The bolt? The bolt by itself.
Well, no. I'm sorry.
They already went through all that.
Oh, yeah, it is in the verbiage.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about it earlier.
Sorry. Well, I just can't believe
23, 28, and 25.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
As long as I can find it, please find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So again, we're looking for deep, dark secrets.
We did the Igniter last year, and then this year we're working on a long version of it.
So Igniter's short action, though you said.
Correct.
Yeah.
This will be Magnum Lapua or just Magnum?
This will standard? Be able to go up to Lapua.
Gotcha.
Unlike the Bumblebee. The Vampire cannot do that because of the being aluminum and steel combo without making the stocks bigger.
I don't know if you mentioned it or not. Did the igniter have integrated lug?
Yes, it does. And you it looks identical, just extended out.
And you guys, you said you sell the pick rail with the studs in it.
Oh, sorry. The igniter?
Yeah.
Yes, it has the integral lug.
Do you sell a pick rail for it?
Yes. So we have three options: bare action for the just under $1,000, then you can get it from us with the rail already on for a little bit more, and we can also include the ring. So we have a discount price on all of those if you buy them together.
So it does have the rail. The igniter does have the rail.
At $1,000, it has a recoil lug, not the rail.
This part right here? No rail.
At the base price.
Just this lug.
No rail. Just no rail.
Yeah. They literally, you guys offer too many options.
Yeah.
You just need one action. People. Tell them buy it or don't.
Yeah.
It cut down that backlog.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right.
And we keep having this conversation.
We'll make this one.
Yeah.
And make the vampire.
So we have.
We're doing that. Fast as we can.
We have eliminated some of the less popular benchrest actions in the last couple of years.
Gotcha.
We still have some stock of blank sizes that we haven't cut, but once they're gone, they're gone. We're not making more.
Is there anything in there we forgot to ask on our questions, dear?
Yeah. What is your time frame? If I called tomorrow and say I want an igniter, what are you going to say to me for when I get it?
If you can't find one in stock somewhere, then it's going to be, right now I better say 6 to 8 months.
Okay, what about the vampire?
It's across the board.
Okay, 6 to 8 months is your lead time then.
Yep.
It's changed in the last.
Yeah, we were down to three to six.
Oh, join the party.
So.
Everybody is out of stock of everything gun related nowadays.
So, as far as secrets,
don't tell them
some of them might. We do. I won't say how we do it, but one of the things that we do is different on our actions, our receiver bodies, is the bore finishing is actually after the receiver is completely machined and deburred, it goes back for a final bore finishing operation that guarantees that it's perfectly square and parallel with the face of the action, lugs of the actions, threads of the actions. It's something we've done since the very beginning. Recently we've changed the way we do it to an even better way of doing it. But, that's one thing that is different about our actions. And part of that, the reason we had to do it in the bench rest actions is we use a very close fitting bolt with only 1/1000ths total clearance. And so if there's any distortion at all from machining, your bolt wouldn't run free and you wouldn't have 100% lug contact.
What's the difference between that or the tolerances between that and...
Tolerance is the same as far as like what we hold part to part, but bolt clearance is 3/1000ths to on the repeaters.
Gotcha. So that is why you guys win all the time? Is that the secret?
I think we just convinced enough top shooters that they were better.
Because you can't throw a stick without hitting somebody that wins with a bat in the bench rest side.
Yep.
No. Yeah, we our actions have pretty much reset the record book, and the top 20 is pretty much at least 80% bats all the time.
And you brought pretty much all of that technology into the hunting repeatable. That's saying a lot.
The only thing we've done different is loosen up the bolt fit.
Gotcha. Is there anything else you guys want to cover? Anything else we're missing? Where do we find you guys at? How did somebody order one of these?
Phone number is 208. What is it, Daryl?
Your list?
I think I got it all. Go ahead.
Or do we give our phone number?
I was going to say, I'll link all this to the show notes. So whatever you guys say is going to be put on our website. Now think very carefully before you speak.
You can find us at www.batmachine.com. And our phone number and contact info, emails and everything is there.
Perfect.
Oh, okay. Do you guys, this one thing she wrote on here, do you let the people, can they come here? Do you have a showroom or would you rather them just call you?
We don't have a showroom.
What I'm hearing you say is if you show up at their door, it's going to delay the orders. So don't just show up at the door and expect a full, like, tour of the facility.
So we do have the way our office is set up, you can come up the stairs and we have windows overlooking the shop. And Daryl will answer a few questions if he happens to be up here.
Yeah. And we do have some product that we can show you. So yeah, we don't set up tour
like you're going to a vineyard or something.
Right. But you are welcome to come by.
I will say I showed up here unannounced. Yep. They didn't know me from Adam, yep. And Daryl was more than happy to answer all your questions.
You bet.
Daryl's a nice guy.
Yeah. Daryl is a nice guy. Bruce,
well, he's a good guy too. If you can find him.
My wife says I sound real grumpy on the phone. So.
Was that just with the wife or is that with everybody?
Well, she listens to me on the phone sometimes. She's like, boy, did people ever call you back?
I feel that. I feel like your wife and I understand that.
Yes, her and my daughter say that I don't sound very friendly on the phone sometimes.
He's not friendly on the phone.
Well, Bruce and Daryl, thanks a lot for taking part of your day to come and do this with us.
No problem. Awesome.
We'll circle back soon. We are doing a review. Long Range Only is doing a review on the Vampire, correct?
Correct.
And Rock Slide's doing a review on the Bumblebee. So look for those soon. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye.